Welcome in, everybody, on a Monday, live from the Oakland Center here at Oak University. Trash Talk, Tony Browski's underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Whether you listen live on 88.3 FM, WXOU, WXOU.org/listen, the Radio FX app, or wherever you stream your favorite podcast. Welcome into the show this week. In the Google Meet call, the guys are all here. Eli Bashy, Mike Bilica, Jay Horn, and Grant Richards. Let's start with Eli as he changes his background to, I'll let him mention it if he so chooses to. Eli, how are you today?
I'm a bit cranky, as you noted earlier off air. My power went out yesterday. I was not having a good time. You know, whenever I lose power, I get in that mood where I'm like, man, how did people live? I asked my parents, how did you guys live back then, you know, without power, without electricity, you know? And then they told me, Eli, shut up. We did not live during caveman time. And I was like, okay, fine. But yeah, I'm here and I have my my lethal background, if you will. we're here.
We're just going to leave that there. How's the summer class going? I know you had an exam last week. How'd that go?
Yeah, it went pretty well. Class is going pretty well. I've been keeping up on all my homework. Only, what is it? This is my fourth week. I have four more weeks after this, so halfway there.
Exactly halfway there. Best of luck. Speaking of summer classes, let's go to Mike Bilica, the other summer student in this call. How are you, Mike? How's the class going? And how was work this past weekend? I know your work had you going all over the place, including the farms. Mike was sending us Snapchats, and he was by a farm.
I was at a farm.
Did you see any cows?
In Ann Arbor. I did, actually. I forgot to send you guys a picture.
Jay, do you have something to add to the cow comment?
You see any pigs there, man? Any piglets?
I didn't see any pigs or bears.
Oh, boy.
Back on mute.
Okay, we're just going to leave that there. Thanks, Mike. I'm not even going to ask you how your class is going. You've had enough. You've had enough fun to start the show. Hi, Jay, how are you?
Oh, I don't know anymore. I don't know now.
It's Trash Talk Monday. How we doing?
I'm doing good. I got my Starbucks here in my robe, you know. Hibernation season is coming. So, I can't wait. Trash Talk Mondays, baby. Hoorah.
Okay. Yeah. Trash Talk Mondays. Hibernation season is anything but close. It's summertime, baby. Let's go. Memorial Day weekend is this weekend. We're having a blast. Oh, yeah. What's that, Mike? What'd you say?
Woo!
Woo!
I'm excited. I love Memorial Day weekend.
You know, speaking of woo, you know, Tyler and I went to the Mud Hens game last week. They were woo chants. Yeah. Yeah, those Toledo people, the old people and the farmers, they were getting down with the woos. Hey, man, me and Tyler, on the way to Toledo, we were talking, and we were like, what kind of people are we expecting at the Mud Hens game? And I say, it's about to be a bunch of old people and farmers. And that's exactly what we saw. Old people, farmers, families, and then us too. Oh, goodness. It was a fun time, though. Shout out to Toledo. Last but not least, Grant Richards from work. How are you today, Grant? And as always, say it with me, Mike. How'd the sports betting go this past week?
We're good. Weekend was good. A lot of golf, either playing or watching the man, the myth, the legend, Phil Mickelson, win the PGA Championship. That being said, I'm up astronomically right now, sports betting. It's one of my best weeks. The MLB parlays were just hit. I think I hit three during the week and
almost
was very close. Man. To hitting a big one where I probably would have just called out work today and said, I'm going to take this money. But no, we're up. Also, thanks to another free $50 DraftKings gives out for random bets. I don't know. It's nice promos. They got some all right promos, so cannot complain.
You know, speaking of golf, obviously we're not the biggest golfers in here outside of you, but I do know it was a pretty big deal that Phil won yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the oldest athlete to win a championship at 50 years old, so take that, Tom Brady. But
he said it, not me. Please don't come at me for that, Jay. I didn't tell him to say that either.
No, I just wanted to point that out, that if Tom Brady wants to beat that, he's going to have to play until he's 51.
Oh, please don't.
So, yeah, huge deal that Phil came out and won it amongst the big-hitting youth we have now in golf.
That's our golf talk for today. that was fun. Thank you, Grant. And speaking of Brady, I mean, he could play until he's 51, but let's be honest here. After Stafford dominates the NFC with the Rams, Brady's probably just going to call it quits because he won't be able to win no more. Uh-oh, Jay's going straps down. He's had enough. Uh-oh. He didn't like that comment.
We just said no Brady talk, all right? Let's save it.
Uh-oh. Eli's got the Eli Manning background in the Google Meet call now. Uh-oh. I didn't tell him to change that.
I got somebody for you. Hibernation season's going to end early now.
Oh, my goodness. That's the third hibernation reference in the first 10 minutes of the show. We're off and rolling on this Monday. Oh, my goodness. Going back to Grant and the sports betting, though, before we get the show started. Yeah, Grant had a great week. I mean, we text each other our bets every single day, and when we hit, we tell each other. As Grant said, those MLB parlays, he was just hitting. And I'm like, what on earth is going on with the Grant MLB parlays? Meanwhile, me, I told this to Grant last night. I had a good week, and he can vouch for me. He saw the bets and how much money I won and lost. I had a good week, but I finished down by a whopping $7. a whopping seven whole dollars. Well, actually, it was like $7.12, but it was just one of those weeks. Had a good week, not good enough. Just hate to see it. But you know what, Grant? It's bounce back Monday. We're going to bounce back today, make it a good week. Let's go. Knock on wood if you're with me. Yay. And now Eli's wearing Nets gear. Well, we'll save that for later on in the program. But, boys, it's good to have everyone back on the show this week. We got a loaded show planned for today. As Eli has already brought about in the Google Meet call, we are going to talk about the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers and the Clippers and the rest of the NBA playoffs later today. We'll give our... And the Suns. Yes, can't forget about the Suns. Thank you, Eli, for the Suns hat. I'm wearing a Miami Heat pink Vice shirt today, and okay, he just changed his background to crying LeBron. That's okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, because LeBron's the reason they lost game one. Yeah, it's absolutely true. But again, later in the show, we'll go over our picks to come out of the East and West, and we'll react to the Lakers and Clippers specifically, both losing their game ones. Yes, Jay, number one. Yeah, that's not a middle finger, that's number one. That's number one. Both the Clippers and Lakers lost their game ones, and we will react to that later today. And believe it or not, later in the show too, I do want to talk Tigers baseball, because something cool happened with the Tigers last week, and we all know what that was, so we'll talk about that later. And in addition to that, I have one off-season request for the Tigers, that though we are still so far away from the season ending and we are so far away from the winter, I have one request for the Tigers this off-season, that the earlier the better. I'm going to get it on record right here today on the show. I can't wait to talk about that. However, let's start today's show with the Red Wings, because last week, the news that we were all honestly expecting to happen, it happened. Jeff Blashill got extended. Now, I think it was TSN that reported. Could be wrong, I apologize. But I think it was TSN that said it was a 2-year deal. But we don't actually know the specific terms of the Jeff Blashill extension. However, he did get extended. And the reason I'm starting the show today with this is because I flat out forgot to make a video talking about this last week on Twitter. I was occupied with other things, and I straight up forgot. I apologize for not making a video talking about the biggest piece of Wings news we'll get this off season. But nonetheless, because I forgot to make a video, I thought, let's just start today's show by going over my thoughts on the Blashville extension. So let's get right into it. I'm not at all surprised by this news. I think it was either last week or the week before where we talked about the Wings, and I said to Eli on the couch, my prediction is that he is coming back, and I'm pretty confident that about 95% of Red Wings Twitter was also expecting Blashill to return as well. And the reason I say that is because I just never thought Steve Yzerman would look at this season, see how the team showed improvements and played well towards the end of the year, and he would go, yeah, Jeff, you're fired after that. I just never saw that happening personally. Now listen, is Jeff Blashill a good coach? Absolutely not. You could talk about his player development, the power play struggles, the offensive struggles, quote, dump and chase hockey, whatever the case might be. He's not a good coach. But you can say this about Jeff Blashill. Does the team play hard for him, despite being out of the playoffs and facing numerous injuries? Yes. We saw that to close out this regular season. And I think that matters to Steve Yzerman. I think by Blashill getting extended, that shows you that Yzerman really did think it mattered how the team kept on playing for Jeff Blashill, despite the injuries and despite being out of the playoff race. I think that matters to Steve Yzerman. And again, I think we saw that with the extension. And listen, too, Steve Yzerman is a smart man, okay? He knows this rebuild is still a good, I would say, year or two away from really taking off. Though they showed improvement towards the end of last year, they're still a year or two away from really taking off. Even with Mo Sider and other top prospects coming soon, a.k.a. for Mo Sider next year, we're still not there yet. So, if Steve Yzerman's guy isn't out there, because I've always said that Stevie won't fire Jeff Blashill unless his guy is out there. But if your guy isn't out there, why fire Jeff Blashill just to hire another bridge coach that you'll have to fire in a few years anyway to go find your guy to take us where we want to go? I personally don't think that makes a lot of sense. I don't. And for that reason, after seeing how the past regular season ended, if Stevie is cool sticking with Blashill for another rebuilding year or two, I trust him. Listen, Blashill's not going to be here much longer anyway. I don't see it. He's not the long-term answer. Absolutely not. My next Wings prediction regarding Jeff Blashill is that he's gone within the next 2 years. Maybe next offseason, maybe the one after. I'm not sure when, but I am so confident right now saying that Jeff Blashill won't be here in max 2 years. I don't see it. No way. He's not the long-term answer, and he's not Stevie's guy. I just don't see him being here much longer. And with regard to him coming back next year, it might honestly be a good thing he's coming back next year, because that gives us a chance to be really freaking bad once again, and we get a chance at Shane Wright, who many are saying is a generational type prospect, but that's neither here nor there. To close off this topic, as I've already said, while Blashill isn't a good coach at all, the extension was expected, and if Steve Yzerman thinks that Blashill is the right bridge guy until the guy is out there and ready to take this team where we want them to go, I get it, and I trust the Yzer plan. Which, by the way, speaking of the Yzer plan, the Washington Capitals boys, last night they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs by the Bruins. Remember that trade that the Wings made with Washington, Mantha, for Jacob Vrana, Richard Ponick, a first and a second? Yeah, that first round pick is going to be a good pick, by the way. It's going to be a real good pick. Trust the Yzer plan, folks. Trust it. That's all I got. Anyone in the Google Me call have anything to add? Grant, maybe my fellow hockey better and kind of a Wings fan, anything you want to say?
Just kind of retouching on what you said. Yeah, I don't, like, with an unsuccessful season like this, the call is usually to fire the coach, but when you're rebuilding, it would be very weird to bring in somebody else to kind of not even bring us to winning, just get us decent again. So yeah, I didn't see it happening. I heard a lot of calls for it from a couple people pretty frequently. and I just never really agreed with it. I didn't think it's the right time to be doing it. I mean, 2 years from now, if we're looking at the same thing with a top seven pick, yeah, it's probably time to move on and find somebody that can get us over that hump. But right now, we're not in a position to get over any humps.
I'm not always correct with my Red Wings Blashill predictions. I thought he was for sure a goner last year after the worst season of NHL hockey I ever saw from any team. But he came back. And again, I'm not always right on my predictions. I'm 1-for-1 so far. I obviously said that Blashill will come back this year. And as I said a few minutes ago, my next prediction is that he won't be back in max 2 years. Whether that's this next offseason, not this current one, the next one, or the one following that. I'm not sure when, but Blashill's not the long-term guy. And I do agree with what Grant just said. I mean, I didn't want Blashill back. I was hoping my prediction would be wrong, and Steve Yzerman would go, okay, I think it's time to find a new guy anyway. But at the same time, it does make sense to keep him around after seeing how the team played well. Though he isn't a good coach at all, and though, like I said, he won't be back here in max 2 years. I don't know. It's kind of tricky, and it's been a tough topic to discuss with on Red Wings Twitter, because there are some people who are just absolutely outraged, and then there are some people like me where it's like, I don't like it, but I get it, and I'm going to trust Stevie here, you know? So, I don't know. It's definitely a tough topic, and with regards to when it might happen, I mean, Mo Sider will be up here next year, and let's say Mo Sider isn't getting that much ice time. Let's say Joe Valeno, another top young prospect, let's say he's not really doing much next season either. If we're seeing the young guys come up and not doing anything, meanwhile, the older guys on this team continue to get a lot of ice time like they did last year, then I would probably go, okay, now you really need to get Blashill out of here. But that's a discussion that we'll save if we have to get to it. I hope not. I don't want to get to that discussion. I'd rather not see the older guys on this team getting ice time over the top young guys. I mean, Pistons comparison, that's like giving heavy minutes to DeLon Wright over Killian if he didn't get hurt. You know, I know Mike and Eli wouldn't be too happy with that, as they both shake their heads. Yeah, that's the exact comparison, you know? But I don't know. We'll see. Jay, correct me if I'm wrong. Was there something you wanted to add about this as well?
About hockey?
Did you raise your hand? I thought I saw you raise your hand.
Oh, you would have asked, you know, anybody got anything to say about this, and I was just putting my hands down because, you know, I'm not really in tune anymore after, like, 2008. So, yeah, not my cup of tea.
Well, by the time you will be back into the Red Wings, Jeff Blashill won't be here, so you are you're doing good and dandy.
Who?
Jeff
Babcock?
What?
Mike Babcock?
No. You keep him far away from the NHL as possible.
Sorry. Didn't he go to the Lightning? Was that the team you went to when he go to?
No, he left us for Toronto. And
Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah, and they went absolutely nowhere as expected.
Hey, as long as we get him back in
I'm
good to go.
No,
we do not need
Babcock back. Thank you very much. Datsuk is old now. He's very old now. A couple years ago when there were rumors, I was cool with it. Now he's just way too old, man. And plus, we have the next Pavel Datsyuk and Jacob Vrana, so it's
all right. But
Tony,
he could be like Arjunas Haslam, you know?
Oh, boy.
Go Wings.
We're done here. The second Arjunas Haslam got brought up in Red Wings talk, I'm ready to move on. Let's talk about the Tigers now. Something cool happened with the Tigers last week, obviously. That was not the thing that happened, Eli. Do you want to explain your Google Meet background since the audience can't see? I'd rather not explain it myself.
I'm just waiting for when the Joe Jimenez no-hitter is going to happen, you know?
That's impossible because he's a reliever and there ain't no way in hell he ever starts for this team. There's a better chance he gets DFA'd within the next week than he does starting for us. But thanks, Eli. I really appreciate that.
Hey, that's former All-Star Joe Jimenez to you.
Oh. You know, I know Tyler's listening at somewhere, not live, but he's listening right now, whether he's at the liquor store or he's just chilling at home. I know he just... There's a tear rolling down his face after you said that. So thanks for that. We really do appreciate that. I can speak for Tyler when I say thank you for mentioning that he is a former All-Star. Way to turn the Tigers topic into a complete crap show. Single-handedly. Good job, Eli. But now let's talk about positive Tigers news. Because again, something cool happened with the Tigers last week. Spencer Turnbull threw a no-hitter on Tuesday night in Seattle. That was the first cool thing to happen to the Tigers in a very, very long time. I mean, watching that game on Tuesday nights, you could just feel that something special was going on. Whenever I watch a baseball game, I usually don't start thinking no-hitter until you get past the sixth inning. If you make it past the sixth inning and you still have a perfect game or a no-no, that's when I personally go, okay, something's going on here. Then he made it past the seventh inning. Now, I think in the seventh inning, that's when Candy made that highlight play at third, which in every no-hitter slash perfect game, there's always that one highlight defensive play that you always remember from that gem of the pitching efforts. Candy, when he made that play, that's when I knew, okay, we got something cooking here. Made it through the seventh, made it through the eighth, then the ninth inning. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Twitter was the most electric I ever saw it for a Tigers game. At 1 a.m., I think even Eli and Mike were up talking about it with me, Tyler, and Jay. Grant, I don't know, he might have been were you sleeping for work? Unfortunately.
Yeah, some of us have to wake up at like 6, so I did my best. I had the game on. I just got caught in a Grubhub ad, and I just called it a night.
Well, you know what? That's a good excuse, though. You had work in the morning. At least you didn't just fall asleep to fall asleep, you know? But, yeah, Twitter was alive. Everyone was talking about it. Ninth inning, got two outs. The third out, Mitch Haniger, the Mariners' best hitter. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Strike three was a swing, strike three as well. No hitter. I got my live reaction. I was so incredibly happy. I did not care that I probably woke up the entire neighborhood. I was happy. That was the best Tiger moment that we saw in such a long time. And Spencer Turnbull, he's such an easy guy to root for, too. You know, it was a joke on Twitter after the no-hitter because ESPN, when they were doing their live interview with Spencer, like in that little like ticker where they show his name, they put below his name, he led the league in losses in 2019. And people were like, ESPN, he just threw a no-hitter. What are you doing? And I do agree, I don't think that was the time and place. But regarding Spencer Turnbull, he did lead the league in losses a couple years ago. To go from that to throwing a no-hitter on Tuesday and just pitching really, really good this year, it's awesome to see. You know, Scott Bentley, who we had on the show before opening day, he's a big Spencer guy, and he's a big proponent of hashtag Turnbull Top 20, I believe it is, meaning that Turnbull's going to be a top 20 pitcher in baseball this season. You know what? So far, so good. Turnbull's been really good for this team. Before tonight's start against the Indians, his ERA is under 3, WHIP under 1, and it's awesome to see. I love Spencer Turnbull, and to finally see a good thing happen for the Tigers this past week, it was great. Jay, what was your reaction to the no-hitter?
I was pretty excited for it. Double G woke up to watch it. That was pretty cool.
You see? That's what I'm talking about. When was the last time you had people wake up in the middle of the night to watch Tigers.
Double G. Uncle Charles called me too, man. You know, Uncle Charles.
What does he call Akil Badu?
A lot of things. Badoo doo, Dodo, Buffoo. Yeah.
Buffoo. Oh no. Alright. Shout out to Uncle Charles.
It was cool though. I enjoyed it. I think it was good for Spencer too because, you know, people just love making fun of him about those losses he had last year. And I think it was Eric Haas. Is that it? Haas? That's his name?
Eric Haas, yeah, he caught
it. Shout out to him because I heard that Spencer is really comfortable throwing to him. So we need to keep him here.
Yeah, Eric Haas caught the no-hitter and that's another really good story. You know, when he got called up because Grayson Griner got hurt, we were assuming that Eric Haas would just, you know, fill in until our elite backup catcher, the Grayson Griner, got back healthy. But Eric Haas has been so freaking good for the Tigers, whether it's behind the plate or whether it's in left field, because he's playing left field too. He's playing well, I would say, as well. You know? Eric Haas has been good defensively, along with swinging the bats. Jake Rogers, who we got in the Justin Verlander trade, you know, he's playing well defensively. He can actually frame a strike, which is good to see. We shouldn't be so excited as Tiger fans to see a catcher frame a frickin' strike, but here we are, because we've been stuck with Wilson Ramos and Grayson Griner to start the year. So to see Jake actually do something that a normal catcher should know how to do in 2021... that's fantastic. And plus, Jake, too, the thing with him is that he's been struggling offensively. He especially did when he was with us in 2019. But now he's swinging the bat well. And though keeping three catchers really doesn't make much sense, Grayson Griner, I'm sorry, buddy, but Al Avila, you... man, you gotta keep Eric Haas and Jake Rogers up here. You gotta keep both of them. I don't care if you have a three-catcher lineup. Jake, Eric Haas, Wilson Ramos... I don't care. Keep them all up. Tell Grayson to stay in AAA. I really do not care. Eric Haas and Jake Rogers need to stay on this team. Because Eric Haas, as Jay brought up, Spencer Turnbull, who just threw a no-hitter, has went on record to say that he's comfortable with Eric Haas catching him. And then with regard to Jake Rogers, Casey Mize, it's not a coincidence that he has looked a lot better over his last few starts with Jake Rogers catching him. I'm just saying... And it's not going to be a coincidence either when Tarek Skubal starts pitching well, too. He's been playing a lot better as of late. I know Tarek Skubal isn't Jay's favorite, but you know what? He's been pitching a lot better as of late. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jake Rogers is behind the plate catching him either. And I think it would be so Al Avila to call back up Grayson Griner when he's healthy, and he sends down one of Jake Rogers or Eric Haas. And I hope we don't have to have that discussion on Twitter, because when it happens, my head's going to pop off. And I don't want to have my head pop off because of that, but that was a side rant. That was a side rant that I'm glad I got off my chest, because that's something that I've been talking about on Twitter as well. But, yeah, it was very cool nonetheless to see Spencer Turnbull get that no-no. Eli and Mike, you two were up for that no-hitter. What was your reaction as you saw that happen?
I hadn't seen a Tigers no-hitter since Verlander, so it was very surreal, I guess, to see the Tigers in their rebuild in such what seemed like a down year, to see something so positive. I feel like it's going to help out the whole team. I feel like it's going to give them a lot of positivity in the dugout, and I don't know, I think it's just a very good thing for a team that is building, I don't want to say such a bad culture with all the losses, but let's be real, they have not won in a long time, and to have something like that happen is just a very good thing for the whole team and the whole organization.
Yeah, and with regards to the culture that you brought up, I mean, AJ Hinch has a lot of work to do, and it's not his fault that the team is... I think 10 games below 500 at the time of recording this. But, yeah, I do agree that for a team and a franchise that has seen a lot of, and I mean a lot of bad, over the last 5 or so years, to see something like that, it definitely, it warmed my heart as a sad Tigers fan. Warms my heart, that's for sure. And, I mean, we have a Padres fan in the call. He knows it takes time. And it takes a lot of time. And hopefully the Tigers can get like that one day, where the Padres are just smoking people left and right with Tatis Jr., who is just a superstar in the making already. But, Mike, what about you? You have the final word on the terrible no-no.
Well, it was actually, like, one of the games I just randomly decided to watch. And once I tuned in, I'm like, oh, okay, this is serious. It was a big moment. It was fun to watch. You know, I enjoyed it very much. I think it came at the right time. I think they really needed something like that. It was great.
Mike never just sits down and watches Tigers baseball. It was very ironic that that was the game that Mike tuned into. Like, he was watching from the beginning. He was texting us during the first inning. Because me and Tyler are always talking in our group chat about Tiger games. I know Jay loves that. But, yeah, Mike was talking to us in the first inning. I'm like, even Mike is watching. Something cool is going to happen tonight. And sure as hell, Spencer no-hitter.
I think that was the Casey Mize game that I watched from the beginning. The Turnbull no-hitter was... I came home from work, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, still, you watched it. Yeah, two games in a row, though.
In the same series.
Yeah, well, my mistake. He didn't watch from the beginning, but he did watch. He did watch. When did you start watching? Like, the fourth, fifth inning?
I'd say that. I caught the candy play, so...
Yeah, that was like the seventh or eighth inning, so yeah. You started watching at an acceptable time. You were there basically from the beginning, which is good to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the Tigers, like we said, as bad as they've been, as bad as they will probably continue to be this summer, unfortunately, to see a cool moment like that, the eighth no-hitter in franchise history and the first one since JV in Toronto in 2011, yeah, it was awesome to see. And for a guy like Spencer, you love to see it. You absolutely love to see it. So that's the first of two Tigers topics I wanted to talk about. Very quickly here, I do have another Tigers topic that I want to get into. I'm putting this on the record right now. Al Avila, Chris Illich, please. And I'm coming close to the microphone here. The WXOU microphone, not the pod mic. I'm coming really close. You hear this? I'm coming really close to the microphone. I need a free agent shortstop this offseason. And I'm not just saying any free agent shortstop. You know, with all due respect to Marcus Semien and Jose Iglesias, Eli literally just said Jose Iglesias. No, I love Iggy. You know, I have a cool Iggy story. Back at Tiger Fest in like 2015, I was wearing his shirt, and I got a picture with Iglesias, with him like pointing at the back of my shirt. But somehow the picture got deleted off my old like iPhone 3. So we were like, oh crap, we lost the picture. That sucks. I was with my family. It sucked that we lost the picture. But Iggy was walking through like the dugout down in the basement of Comerica Park. And not the dugout. It was like the little hallway down there that they throw everyone for Tiger Fest back when that was a thing. He was walking past us and we were like, Iggy, Iggy, Iggy. And he remembered me. He was like, oh, what's up, man? And we told him that we lost the picture. So he had me turn around. We retook the picture. Cool Iggy story. I love Jose Iglesias. But I'm not talking about him. Okay, I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about Marcus Semien. That's a name being thrown around on Twitter too. I'm not talking about him either. I'm talking about one of the big four. Whether it's Javi Baez, Corey Seager, Trevor Story, or Carlos Correa. I do not care. One of those four needs to be a Tiger next season. It's time to spend the big bucks, Chris and Al. It is time. If you want to kickstart this rebuild, get tired of the losing, try to kick this thing going, and try to get towards better days in the summers here in Detroit, Michigan, let's go. Let's go. It's time to spend some money. It's really time to upgrade that shortstop position. Because with all due respect to Nico Goodrum and Willie Castro, they aren't it. I know Jay loves Nico Goodrum, But they aren't it, man, at all. At all.
I don't like him at all at shortstop. I think he could be worst defenders I've ever seen.
No, he is.
My next door neighbor has better fielding positions. My next door neighbor is better than him at playing shortstop. I guarantee it.
Oh, for sure.
And he's 9.
Yeah, for sure. I think Eli could be a better shortstop than Nico Goodrum.
Like, it's just gruesome watching him play. And if he ever hears this, I mean it. It's gruesome.
I mean,
it's bad, Tony.
No, I know it's bad. Yesterday against the Royals, Casey had a no-no going, and Nico, it wasn't even hit that hard to him. It was a one-hop routine play that about 99% of MLB shortstops make, and it bounced off his glove. It should have been ruled an error, but they ruled it a hit. That broke up the no-no. Like, come on, he has an error just about every game he plays at short. Every single one! No. Oh, yes, Jay. I'll accept that. I will accept that, yes. But no, man. I mean, Nico Goodrum, he's not a major league shortstop. And Willie Castro, I love Willie. And I know Tyler's listening. This will make him sad, too. It makes me sad to say it, because Willie was so good for us last year offensively. But, man, now he can't hit. And because he can't hit, his defense is just really starting to show him now. Last year, we ignored it because he was arguably our best hitter. But this year, now he can't hit anymore. And his defense just ain't it either. Like, they need a shortstop. And I wish they would just call up Zach Short in the meantime, because that's a young guy I really like defensively. I think you call him up and put him at short, instant impact. Honestly. Oh, Tony and Zach Short. I do not care. Our defense is incredibly awful in the middle of the infield. It's so, so bad. And we need to upgrade that this offseason. You could knock out two birds with one stone. You upgrade at shortstop, and you finally spend big money, along with adding a middle-of-the-lineup bat that would kickstart this rebuild. Adding a superstar, like any one of those four, Baez, Seager, Story, Correa, any one of those four, instant impact. Instant impact in this rebuild. I don't care who it is either. I do not care. You know, people argue, oh, I want Correa. He makes the most sense. I want Seager. I want Javi. I hate Javi. Everyone has their own guy. Me, I literally do not care. Give me any one of those four, and I'm thrilled. I'll do backflips. If the Tigers spend that money, as Mike was referencing in his Google Meet box, yeah! If he spends that money, Chris and Al, and upgrades at short with any one of those big four, I'm buying a jersey. I'll shell out my own money as well. Please spend some money this offseason and upgrade at shortstop. Because I've had enough of Nico Goodrum and Willie Castro. Oh, my goodness. Jay, is there any one of those specific four that you would prefer?
I used to be a big Cubs fan. Like Chris Bryant. Like, you know, yeah. Javi Baez. I want Javi Baez. I really do.
I also used to love the Cubs. I used to love watching them. They now annoy me now.
Yeah, I'm not a fan now, but yeah. Like they were so bad for so many years and they got good. It was fun to see that happen.
Absolutely. Jay, did you like the Bears too?
Oh my. Oh boy. We're not gonna mention that. We're just going to keep on going here.
If you see something in your yard at 2 in the morning, just know what it is.
Oh, boy. But
yeah, I want Javi. I truly do. Carlos is cool. Trevor Story is like the second legit option. I don't think we're going to get Carlos Correa. I don't.
You know the Yankees are going to get somebody. And
probably Carlos.
Correa or I think Trevor Story screams New York Yankees to me. I think he does. I don't know. We'll see, though. But, yeah.
Nico's got to go.
Correa makes sense because of the AJ Hinch connection, obviously. And, obviously, the last one we'll mention here is Seager. I love Corey Seager. He's been hurt this season, and he had an injury, I think it was a couple years ago as well. But no denying the talent, and he's still really young. So, yeah, any one of those four, I do not care. Grant, what about you? Is there any one of those four that you would prefer? Or are you like me, where it's just like, I don't care who, just give me one of them?
I like Javi Baez. I like his fielding skills more than really anything. He's really slick with the glove.
He's the best defender, for sure.
Yeah, hands down. And, like, those second base tags, and I don't know, I think he's just sick. And he fought Jose Bautista, if my memory serves me
correctly. That was Odor.
Oh, whatever.
Odor was the one that cranked Bautista in the mouth.
Yeah, that was my favorite, just any middle infielder memory. But, I really like Javi Baez overall. I think Trevor Story was kind of a benefit of playing in Colorado because he had that one monster year and then not really doing as much since. Like, he hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been that. But, and especially playing in a hit, going from Colorado to Pitcher's Park, Comerica, I just don't really love that connection. So I'm leaning Javi Baez, but I'm kind of more on the line of, like, just get me somebody.
Yeah. You know, you're not the only person to bring that up about Trevor Story. I actually had someone on Twitter, tweet at me a couple days ago. I never knew this, but apparently Trevor Story's numbers are dramatically worse away from Coors Field. And that, you know what, that makes sense. And if you're someone who, that might scare you away from Trevor Story, I get it. But there is no denying the power. And in Comerica Park, you're going to need that power, so... again, ladies and gentlemen, just to wrap up this topic quickly, I'm putting this out there right now, so it's out there. Please give me a free agent shortstop this offseason. Correa, Baez, Seager, Story, I don't care. Give me one of them, put them at short, put them in the middle of the lineup, back up the truck, and just let's get this thing going. You got to get more actual MLB players in here anyway to help out A.J. Hinch. there was a report from Jeff Passan of ESPN last offseason that the Tigers were going to look to spend more money to give A.J. more to work with. That really didn't happen outside of Robbie Grossman, but this upcoming offseason is really the time. Let's go. It's time to get this thing moving. Adding one of those four would absolutely get this thing rocking and rolling. And hopefully that might get us back to the postseason one day. Speaking of the playoffs, great transition into our final topic today. To close the show, let's talk about the NBA playoffs. Let's just get right into it. Our picks for the East and Western Conferences. I think my picks are pretty self-explanatory. in the Eastern Conference, through one game, I would hope we're all in agreement that the Nets are probably going to come out of the East. I mean, yeah, Jay, the biggest bandwagon Nets fan I know on this planet Earth. The Nets, I just don't see who stops them. I know it's only been one game, but I don't know who stops them. If that big three can stay healthy and stay on the court together, I don't know, man. It pains me because I despise the Nets. So much. I despise them. I do not like them simply because of Blake Griffin. And because of the big three. I'm not the biggest KD guy, or James Harden guy, or Kyrie Irving guy. The only guy I really care about is Bruce Brown on that team, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I just don't see who comes out of the East that's not named Brooklyn. I mean, Philly... I thought they looked good in their game one win over Washington, but no way. Milwaukee, absolutely not. Giannis had such a terrible, terrible game in game one against the Heat a couple nights ago. Chris Middleton, he had to make that shot for them to even avoid a second overtime. Yeah, no way Milwaukee. The Knicks are a cute story, but I don't think they make it farther than the second round. I would love for the Hawks to make a run, but no way, man. We all know it's probably going to be Brooklyn if they can stay healthy on the floor together. In the West, I'm just going to say it and shut up. You know who I'm rocking with. Go Bron, Lakers in six over the Suns. Start talking for me. Jay, go first.
All right. In the East, I have the Nets. Not even because, like, I just like watching them play. Nobody can beat them. Personally, I don't think Philly can do it. I don't even have Milwaukee beat Miami, so I'm just not worried about that. So they're going to come out the East for sure. Yeah. In the West, go Suns, man.
Oh, you know what?
No. Hear me out. I don't think the Clippers are going to do it this year.
Yeah, at least you didn't say go Clippers, because that would have gotten you kicked off of this group.
I just don't see it happening. I said they were going to beat Dallas, but they may not. My unbiased opinion was from the win. L.A., your Lakers, they're just not good this year. And it's not your boy. It's not LeBron, Ramon James. It's not him. Yeah, I know his middle name, Tony. It's not him. Anthony Davis is one of those guys where, like, he'll play a bad game and his attitude is, I'll get him next time. Like, that's just what it looks like. He doesn't care enough. So,
no.
LA's, they may be screwed.
No, I'm not overreacting after one game.
Hey, go Suns, Tony.
Yeah, go Suns. Listen.
Chris Paul is coming this year.
Hey, remember what happened last year? Twice? 1-0, game one win for Portland.
Those teams were not as good as
Phoenix. Hold on, let me finish. Round two, who won game one? Who was on that Rockets team? What's his name? Russell Westbrook? Yeah, boy.
Good.
Yeah, boy. Mike.
They didn't have a
That last year's NBA title was the hardest won title in history. Don't give it to me.
It was in front of Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse title.
No. Let's just act like Bam out of
You wouldn't be saying that if the Heat won.
Well, listen, Tony. They took them to six games without Bam.
It's just because LeBron and the Lakers won.
No, any other team
wins that title, you're saying the exact same
thing
I am.
Gordon Dragic got hurt in game one, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Go Suns.
Yeah.
Go Suns, man. Go Suns.
I'm sick of this.
If Chris Paul can stay healthy, please God, keep Chris Paul healthy. The Lakers are no match for the Suns.
Anthony Davis can't even guard DeAndre Ayton.
No, listen, AD needs to step up. Minus 18 in game one, that just can't happen. He needs to be better. He absolutely needs to be better. And LeBron, on a bad ankle, he's not my biggest concern at all. AD needs to be better. And I'm not overreacting after one game. I mean, we can have this discussion after games 2, 3, and 4. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, after the Suns win 4-0, well, we will definitely have that conversation.
Yeah, not even 2K would allow that to happen. Let's settle
you
down
can't
here.
You play 2K, probably.
Huh?
Burn.
Yeah. You know what? Let's run it up after the show. Oh, wait. You're on PlayStation.
I have a PS5.
Yeah. Yeah, you trying to play Cold War 1v1? I'd really show up then.
Touche.
There it is. Listen, I'm not hating on the Suns, though, by the way. I'm not. If they bounce the Lakers, I'll happily root for the Suns, because they are the only team that I would really want to see get to the finals from the West. Because you know damn well I ain't rooting for no damn Clippers. Absolutely not. Nothing warms my heart more, outside of the Spencer Turnbull no-no, than seeing the Clippers lose game one to the Mavs. My sweet, beautiful Luka. I was on his train since day one. My sweet, beautiful Luka. He went dancing with Miss Triple Dub in game one. Oh, he took her for a little spin and just popped the Clippers right in their face in the Lakers' home court. Ugh.
How many fans were in the crowd, Tony? 4?
I think there are more cardboard cutouts than actual Clipper fans there. I think, to be completely honest with you, I think that might be the truth. But Pandemic P was trending, and it was trending early on Saturday or Sunday, whenever game one was. It was trending early. He started the game like 1-7 from the field, I think it was, and though he got cooking in the second half, too little too late. Right, Jay? He's got nothing. I know you got something to say about playoff P. Come on now. Don't back off now.
I love Paulina's game. I just thought he did great. You know, Pauline, Paulette, all the above.
Yeah.
I hate you.
You hate me?
No, I'm talking to Paulina.
I thought you said you hate me. I could have understood if you hated me, but no. Yeah, Paul George in game one was a solid 8 of 18 from the field and 2 of 8 from downtown.
Hey, Tony, what was Luke Kennard's stats in that game?
Oh, no, please tell me. I want you to say it for me.
I believe when I looked up the box score, it said, did not play coach's decision, when it should have said assistant coach's decision, because Teron Luke's not a real head coach.
Assistant coach Ty Lue decided not to play Luke Kennard. Such a Clippers move. They paid Luke Kennard $16 million. And I love Luke, but $16 million. And he's a do not play in game one.
What was it, 4 years, 64?
I know it's $16 million. A
4 years, 64 extension, and they're not playing him in a playoff game where they pretty much lost because they couldn't shoot the ball. There's your head coach for you.
And speaking of not shooting the ball, Kawhi was 9 of 22, 1 of 6 from downtown. Marcus Morris was a solid 2 of 8 from the field and 0 of 6 from downtown. Reginald Wedgie Jackson was 1 of 6 from the field and 0 of 3 from downtown. Hey, go Mavs. Go Mavs. Let's make it 2-0. Why not? Oh, man. Yeah, there's our thoughts after the Game 1 losses for the Clippers and the Lakers as well. Lakers, I'm not worried. Clippers, screw you. Grant, before you run off back to work, what's your picks coming out of the East and West?
I'm not really going contrarian here with the East pick or the West pick, but East, it's got to be the Nets. I said it before in an earlier show. I don't ever see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid kind of being those guys that get you to a championship and win a championship. And I think they're the only team really standing in the way, potentially, of the Nets. And then the West, it's not the Lakers, Tony. It's, if anything, it's Phoenix, man.
Yeah, like, well, wait until
Denver. Denver
wait until you see it. Yeah.
Okay, Tony, I will say, when I saw Chris Paul go down, I was like, Lakers are sweeping the Suns, that's it, it's over. Chris Paul got injured again in the playoffs when he had a team that was a contender. I was like, it happened again. I can't believe it happened again. LeBron, another Mickey Mouse final appearance, you know, all that, blah, blah, blah. But then Chris Paul came back, and I was like, oh, no, Suns got this, you know?
Oh, he's still not 100%, by the way. So, yeah, number one. Thank you,
yeah, but
Jay.
Tony, LeBron isn't at 100%, you know? LeBron has that poor bum ankle.
He wins.
You're crying like he actually didn't suffer a major ankle injury.
He's the reason they almost fought yesterday, because he wanted to fake his injury.
That was not fake. He took a pretty hard fall, as he always does.
Chris Paul had 7 points.
No.
Chris Paul had 7 points, and the Lakers couldn't do crap. Let him score 15, they're screwed.
Let AD score 20.
He's scared of Ayton.
He's not scared of Ayton. He just had one bad game.
Ayton was on PEDs. He should be scared of him.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. When people started telling me Ayton's better than AD, thank you, Mike. I forgot about that. I'll just have to, you know what, I'll turn my camera on for this. All I have to do is this. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. But listen, Grant, again, I briefly mentioned this a few minutes ago, but if it wasn't the Lakers, I would absolutely want the Suns. I've always been a big Devin Booker guy, and I'm really, really happy to see him in this moment, and he shined in game one. His playoff debut, what was it, 35 points? I love Devin Booker, and I'm really, really happy to see him play well. I'm happy just to see the young guys across the league playing well, whether it was my sweet, beautiful Luka, Devin, Trey Young hit that shot and told the MSG crowd, it's effing silent in here. That is cold-blooded if I have ever seen it. Go Sooners, man. Go OU. Not this one. Go Sooners.
Shout out to Jim Ross.
Oh.
His barbecue is actually decent. I tried it.
Oh my gosh. Grant, might be time for you to go. Have a good day at work, Grant. Thanks for stopping by.
It feels like that time.
Yeah, yeah, right, the guys. Minute Jim Ross got brought up, Grant just moved his phone and said, I'm out. Oh my. Who haven't we spoken to yet? Mike, let's go to you. We'll end with Eli.
You want my two picks?
Yeah, well, no, I want your two Stanley Cup picks.
Really? Okay.
No, stop it. No. I'll turn the mic off. No. Because you're going to say some BS Canadian team that's so unrealistically not getting to the Stanley Cup final. Edmonton's already down 3-0 with the superstar of the league and one of the better players in the league in Leon Drysdale. Toronto, I mean, what happened to John Tavares was really scary, and I do hope he will be all right. But Toronto, Montreal, yeah. Good luck getting a Stanley Cup team this year, Canada. Keep that streak going, baby. Let's go. Anyway, continue.
I got the Nets and the Lakers.
Oh!
I don't want the
He's
Lakers.
He's lying!
Yeah!
I don't want the Lakers.
That's why Mike is my favorite. That's why Mike is my favorite. That is why. That is why.
I'm still rooting for
yes,
LeBron,
both
though.
Of you. Both of you. He's number one. He's number one. Yes.
He's lying.
No, he's not. Mike's not. Mike is anything but a liar.
It's LeBron in the first round. Come on.
Bro, this has happened twice already. Three times if you count the Indy series. He goes down 1-0. He just tests the water. Okay, remember that defense that locked the Lakers down in game one? Watch LeBron carve them up for 30. Watch AD carve them up for 40. Watch Andre get a 20-20 game.
Team 3 games
is
over.
Once you said Andre, I can't take it serious now. Come on.
watch Caruso and KCP go off. Oh. All right, Eli, you're last.
Let's go Suns. Let's not go Nets, but Nets are going to come out of the East. Let's go Suns. Chris Paul, please. Chris Paul, I will go to church to pray that you stay healthy. Because if you
stay you'll burn Paul, the second you walk into those doors.
This is the year Chris Paul finally makes it to the finals. Please.
Speaking
please.
Of Suns, that you'll see the sun when you walk into church.
Please, Chris Paul, ignore Tony. God, please. Please let Chris Paul make it to the finals, finally, and beat the Nets.
And very quickly, because obviously we all picked Brooklyn, and we all, outside of Jay, hate the Nets. Is there any one team in the East that we're pulling for, though? I mean, I already said the Hawks, but is there any one team not named Brooklyn that we're kind of pulling for?
Miami.
I'll accept that. I'll accept that. I love Jimmy Buckets, but they're...
I've got two teams. I've got Miami and Philly, believe it or not. No, I would never root for Philly. I would. That's how much I can't stand the Nets. They make the Sixers likable.
I will say, because of Tobias, I'll accept that answer. I will always love Toby, but other than him, no, thank you.
I like this Knicks team, but I don't think they'll...
I was hoping you say the Knicks, because even though I'm not a big Knicks guy at all, I will say MSG was rocking. I thought that was cool to see. And Derrick Rose popped off, too. Alec Burks came on and... I don't know where Alec Burks came from, but he played well.
Noted Pistons killer, Alec Burks, by the way.
They got Reggie Bullock, too. I mean, the Knicks got some nice pieces that are cool to root for, but...
How many minutes did Rose play?
I can look it up really quickly. I mean, he was getting some big minutes late, and he played well. I think he finished with like 15 points. Let's see. D-Rose had, here it is. D-Rose played, 37 minutes.
Oh my God.
Oh, Thibodeau's going to kill him. 17 points, 8-16 from the field, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal on the block. Great. 37 minutes? Oh, boy. Be careful, please. You know what? We've talked about things that have warmed my heart on today's show. You know what would break my heart? D-Rose getting hurt because he's playing close to 40 minutes in the playoffs. Let's settle down, Tom Thibodeau, okay? You have Quickly. You can use him a little bit, too, if you want.
Quickly only played 21 minutes.
Okay, Tom Thibodeau.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, Tom Thibodeau.
That is Tom Thibodeau for you.
There you go. That's prime
Alfred
Tom Thibodeau.
Payton started and played 8 minutes.
Speaking of Tom Thibodeau, what on earth was that inbounds play at the end of the game? Oh, my lord. that was interesting. But, there you go. Those are our picks for the East and West this year. What would you gentlemen say to doing emergency trash talk episodes after the Lakers-Suns games? Would you be down for a quick, like, 15-20-minute episode to just recap that? I know Jay probably would.
I'm down, but it depends really what took place in the game. If the Suns sweep the Lakers, then I'm down, you know, for sure. But
every game means something, man.
It depends what day, Tony, because you know, but I can do it out there. So, only if the Suns win. If the Lakers win, I'm not doing it.
Oh, you are such painful. You are such a punk for that.
I agree. I'm with Jay.
Oh yeah.
I'm a Suns fan. I got a hat and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we're done here. I'm leaving. Happy early Memorial Day. No show next Monday. We'll figure out what we're doing for next week when it comes. Emergency pod on, like, maybe Tuesday. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll see you then. Keep it locked in. This is 88.3 FM WXOU. And this is Trash Talk Tony Obrowski signing off.